16th Sunday after Pentecost. But we also celebrate the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. And I want to give you a little bit of a background on the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. This was a feast that has been around for centuries, but it was extended to the Universal Church, that it was made as a feast all over the world in the year, or after the year, 1683. What happened in 1683? At this point in time, the Turkish Empire, the Muslims, were pushing further and further into the Christian lands. And on September 11th, the Turkish army had around 300,000 soldiers before the gates of Vienna. Vienna was a Catholic city, and they had already been engaged in combat for almost a month and a half or 2 months. But in Vienna, the Catholics had only around 20,000 soldiers. So you could only imagine standing on the walls of Vienna and looking out into the horizon and seeing a sea of Muslim soldiers who are ready and willing with the intent of coming to kill you and then take away your children, your family, your wives. My dear friend in Christ, what great trial or difficulty those Christians faced as they looked out upon that sea of Muslims who were coming to take their fortress. Vienna was a very strategic in its location, for if Vienna would fall, if that city would fall, the Muslims would have free reins to go into Rome, and that's what their intent was. They were intending to take Vienna and then therefore go right into Rome and make the Basilica of St. Peter a mosque. They wanted to make the Vatican a mosque. And so, my dear friends in Christ, we can understand what was at stake on this particular day. There was a Polish king, John Sobieski, who came to the aid of the Catholics of Vienna. John Sobieski had brought around 70,000 cavalry. He linked up with another country, and what they did was they took a high ground outside the walls of Vienna. So on September 11th, John Sobieski and his cavalry, they charged down the mountain or the hillside, and they attacked that 300,000 Muslims. So it was said that as they were descending from that hill or that mountain that was there, it looked as if angels were coming down from heaven. The battle array of John Sobieski and his cavalry consisted of wing-like feathers upon their backs. So as they rode down the hill, it gave the impression as if the wings of angels. So the Turks were routed on that day. John Sobieski drove them away with all of the Christians who were there fighting for the faith and for their lives. And my dear friends in Christ, after this great victory for the Catholic Church, Pope Innocent XI extended the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary to all of the Universal Church in thanksgiving to our Blessed Mother for the victory. Because the victory of Vienna was given to our Blessed Mother. It was because of her intercession that the outnumbered Christians were able to drive off the Muslims. But my dear friends in Christ, so too for us, we stand on walls of Vienna in our own life. If we think for an instant, looking out into the world and seeing the world as it is right now, how few are we and how great is the evils of the world around us. We can see the evils of the world really pushing into our own lives, trying to really bring us down, trying to really overthrow us. But my dear friends in Christ, we should not lose confidence. We should have complete trust in our Blessed Mother and the hope in her holy name. My dear friends in Christ, there is one attack of the world that I want to address today, and that is the attack against the holy virtue of purity. For there are many attacks against our spiritual life that we face. There are many difficulties that we see coming upon us. But it is especially against the holy virtue of purity that the devil tries to bring many souls to hell. In fact, in today's gospel, St. Alphonsus Liguori references the man suffering from dropsy. He references or compares that man to an individual who suffers from the sins of impurity. He says, St. Alphonsus Liguori, that the man with dropsy, what happens to him is water builds up in his members, in his arms, and in his limbs, but he has a dying thirst. So the man who is suffering from dropsy has a burning thirst, and the more he drinks water, the more he thirsts. The more he takes in, then moisture, the more it prevails in his arms, and the greater is his burning desire to drink more. St. Alphonsus Liguori compares that to a man who suffers from impurity. The more he indulges in his sinful inclinations, the more it causes that sinful desire to burn inside him. And that's why today, my dear friends in Christ, for us all, I really encourage that we do our very best to keep our hearts and our souls pure and clean and holy in the sight of Almighty God. But we need help to do that. We need our help of our Blessed Mother, but then we also need practical things that we can do on a daily basis to help us to remain pure and holy. Consider first one of the Beatitudes. One of the Beatitudes our Lord has given us. He has said, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God." My dear friends in Christ, if we put forth the effort, if we do our very best, always keep it in our mind to strive to remain pure and holy, keep our hearts clean from the sin of this world, we will be rewarded with the sight of Almighty God. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God, not only in the next life, but in this life as well. For sin blinds us. Sin causes us to not see things clearly. Just like, for example, your windshield on your car, if it was filled full of bugs, or whatever else it might be, you can't see very clearly. So too in our spiritual life, when we're dragged down by sin, we can't see things clearly. But with the help of our Blessed Mother, we can clean that up. We can attain a clean heart, and we truly start to see God in our neighbor. We start to see God more in the tabernacle. We start to see Him more in the nature and the beauty in the world around us. For my dear friends in Christ, what an effort should we put forth to attain that cleanness of heart? For the reward is great in this life, in sight of God, but most importantly in the next. So that's where the first piece of advice that I'd like to give is that we should have a high esteem for a clean and pure heart. We should recognize that as a gem, that having a pure heart is truly a treasure that we have to protect. I heard in a talk some time ago, a priest was saying about the most precious diamond in the world. I don't remember the name of the diamond that this priest was referencing. He was saying that this was the diamond that people go and see all over the world because it's the greatest diamond in the world. So I did a little bit of research on top diamonds in the world. And apparently there's a list of like top 10 or top 25 best diamonds in the world. And the number one diamond is in India. It says the Koh-i-Noor. I'm not sure what it stands for or where it comes from, but it's a diamond that's about the size of your palm. So it's very precious. But my dear friends in Christ, that diamond is nothing compared to the purity of our heart. That diamond is nothing compared to the cleanness of our soul. For that diamond will be destroyed at the end of the world, but our souls will not be. Our souls will go on forever. So that's the first thing we should do, is we should have a high esteem for purity. We should have a high esteem for cleanness of heart, a great hatred for sin, for it sullies our soul. It takes away God's grace from our soul. Next thing is we have to pray and offer sacrifices. If we are to protect that which is most pure and precious to us, we have to fortify ourselves. How do we fortify ourselves? But by prayer and sacrifice. We must pray our daily prayers, especially our rosary to our Blessed Mother. But we also have to offer sacrifices. Consider this coming week. It's the Ember week. So we will be fasting and also abstaining. So these are sacrifices. These help you to build the strength of soul. We should strive to increase the strength of our will by prayer and sacrifice. For when we are faced with temptations, it is because of a weak will, that we give in to those temptations. So by prayer and sacrifice, we can especially strengthen our will. Next, we must be watchful. We must be on our guard. Our Lord tells us, pray always. And so what should we do? How can we be watchful? First and foremost, my dear friends in Christ, avoid the occasions of sin. If there is any person, place, or thing that has been an occasion of sin for us in the past, let us do our very best to avoid it, or at least minimize it, so that way it is no longer an occasion to us. Another thing that's very important for us all is to have custody of the eyes, especially as we go about our daily duty. We have to go in the world to work, to go to school, whatever it might be. Do your very best to have custody of the eyes. I think of an example this last Friday night. I was driving up late from Omaha after classes, and I had to stop at a gas station. And I already know from just the way it is, if you stop at a gas station late on Friday night, it's not desirable at all. So sure enough, when I went into the gas station, there's somebody who's not dressed very modestly at all. So the first thing to do to respond to the situation is to pray to our Blessed Mother, ask her for help, because it's through her intercession that we persevere. The second thing is, just direct my eyes downwards. I went into the gas station, I knew exactly why I was going in there, what I needed. I didn't necessarily know where everything was at, but I at least knew in general how to get there. But I thought to myself after the fact, you probably look pretty strange. Like this gentleman walking around with his eyes downwards, people usually don't do that. But then I think to myself, I'd rather go to heaven being known as strange than to go to hell being known as normal in the eyes of the world. I would rather go to heaven and be known as strange in the eyes of the world than rather go to hell and be known as normal. So my dear friend in Christ, take those steps that are necessary to have custody of the eyes. But the last thing I'd like to mention is it's important that we have a battle plan. Each and every one of us, we are going to experience temptations. Even this day, we will experience temptations, and we should have a battle plan. How will I respond when I am tempted against the holy virtue of purity? Step one, I will pray to Mary. I will get into the habit of praying to my Blessed Mother. Two, I'm going to flee from the occasion of sin. I am going to flee from the occasion of sin. And third, when I have been delivered, and I have been delivered from the temptation, I will thank Mary, because it's through her grace that I persevered. How valuable, how precious is a pure and holy heart, my dear friends in Christ. And I pray that we can understand and esteem what a precious gem this is to have a clean heart. For our Lord has told us, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.